witness right there.
He was confused by the sentence that said that we would have to issue orders a day or two prior to the date stopping. He wants to know whether or not he would be authorized to say that when the orders were issued, we would make public that they had been issued for a future date with a meeting to take place on the November 2 date.
When the order is announced?
What he really wants to know is, Mr. President, if the orders were to go out on the October 29th, would we make a public announcement on October 29th?
No, we would wait 9-10 hours, long as we could stand it, because we want to absorb as little of the shock here in Saigon as we can. And we would hope that we wouldn't have to announce it till, say, 9 p.m. here and 9 a.m. out there. In other words, if it's at midnight, they think it's about the best if we all security held and we didn't have the goddamn New York Times Newsweek giving us hell, that we might be able to have a close down on account of weather and not knowing it for at least 9 hours. So we would hope that we'd say stop it at midnight. That it would be 9 a.m. their time before they caught on to it, because the press would be sleeping all night. And it's bad weather anyway at night. That would be 9 p.m. here, so I could make it 9 p.m. and they could make it 9 a.m.
You're talking, Mr. President, about the actual day of cessation.
Yeah.
Not the
one or two days. That's right. We're not gonna advertise to everybody that we're issuing our commander's orders. We want to get them their orders and want them to take whatever steps they need to countermand and get their troops reshifted and whatever they want done. And then the order goes into effect at midnight. And then midnight until 9 a.m. out there, we would hope we wouldn't get caught. And if they called up, they just wouldn't answer. And that would be the middle of the afternoon here, you see, until 9 p.m. And we could still make the papers, but we'd have one of those 3 days, a part of it, eaten up that way. We don't think we can just sit here and hold for many more than 3 days without telling them that we got something more than just the government of Vietnam. Because we think Humphrey will be saying, I told you so, and George Ball will be saying, I recommended it, and Willard Wirt say, see, I told you, and Goldberg will say, now you need it. And then the other side will start breaking loose. So we hope that we get one day off that way. And that was what we really hoped we could do with the one-day thing. But now they've had to add 2 days, and then 2 days become the minimum, and now they want 7, and now they're getting back to 3. Now the other 2 days, we just got to hunker up and the George Christian McCloskey bullet through and stonewall it while ever some of it's in every office that appears wise and said, well, here's what I did. So
he told me that he thought that giving him the extra days on the announcement that way might be crucial. Because that doesn't change your view, I take it, from what you said.
Well, I would consider it, but...
consider it, but he can't offer.
No, I wouldn't want to. If they're saying that when we take, if they're begging for an extra 2 days on to the 3, the answer is no. If that's another way of working it.
Well, this would be on the announcement, not on the actual bombing.
That's right. But you see, the point of it is how we hunker up before they know we've got a concession, a condition. You see, all the doves are going to holler that, God, this is wonderful. And the other side is going to say, well, has he sold us out? And they're worried, we're worried about, worried enough, I called Momar in tonight, Langley Field, to ask him how he thought his airmen out there would take it when they're told that we've closed you off, you can't hit anymore. Are they going to say they want to come home? So now, you see, if we can do it, and while they're still cussing me, they can see that the DMZ shut off. why, we can do all right. But if they, and we think that this commie group wants to bring down that government. And we think that the more trouble they can cause, the happier they're going to be. And we, if we're dumb enough to let them cause it by taking a week to raise hell and have Chew. Chew thinks that he'll have troubles, you see, too. We know what Key's doing. And we just think that if we can say, let's just assume that Saturday we send out the order to the field. They have to go up and have to tell the I Corps commanders and the Vietnamese commanders, the Marines, and our Marine commanders, and have to tell all the Air Force and all the damn navies. And we give them 24 hours notice, or maybe 48 hours. And we say that we're going to stop at midnight Sunday, and we send it out Saturday morning. So Saturday, it doesn't cost us a thing. Sunday, it doesn't cost us a thing. Midnight, it goes into effect. It doesn't bother us until 9 a.m. Saigon, when they say how many planes went out last night, what'd they do? Then they've got to say, here's the joint announcement. That's 9 p.m. our time. Now then, if we have to give the maximum, we've still got 60 hours or something, two 24-hour periods, plus 9 from 24, 15. So it's 63 hours that we got to hunker up there. Then at the end of the 63, we can see that the DMZ is closed off. They say, well, there's no fire in there. He's got that. And if there's nobody hitting the cities over a period of 3 or 4 days, they'll say, well, hell, he must have got that too. And I would imagine it, it'll leak out, little backgrounders, after it's on and for a day or two, that if they do this, he's authorized to respond.
Okay, I'll pass that. I'll pass that on. So I take it that I pass it on just as you've given it to me.
Tell him what our reasoning is behind it. And Buzz, I think if they said, Bunker said it would take 12 hours, and Abrams said, well, he could get by on 2 hours, most of them think it'll take 24, maybe 48, and I'm not sure we'll have Abrams come in. I think that this is going to produce a lot more trouble than any of my associates think so. I'd be interested in your opinion on it. They don't think that it'll cause much political unrest. I think that the Republicans are likely to really think it's a wheeler-dealer deceptive trick. And we waited 5 years, and we did it the last 5 weeks. And I think they're liable to get that into the campaign and really hurt us. And for that reason,
if you're really concerned about that, Mr. Brady, I'd move it ahead a week. I mean, move it to the other side of the election.
Well, that's what I'd like to do, except I think the Balls would say then I wanted to defeat Humphrey. And I don't want it to affect either. I don't want this to affect the election. I want Humphrey to win very much. I think it ought to be moved. I would hope that Averill and them would get an agreement November the 6th to close it up. I think it would be excellent. But you don't have any idea the punishment I get. Dirksen had me on the line 30 minutes and says Nixon's called him. And he says this goddamn Ball Harriman operation over there, and if they're figuring on pulling another trick, and I'm getting ready to go on television and announce it, and they've got it hard. So what happens is these television networks, they're every damn one of them tied in with them some way, bunch of Republicans. So they come in and tell them that, hey, I said it's going to have a press conference televised, and it's going to happen. But Dirksen, I just had him 30, 40 minutes. I said, Everett, I don't think that I really ought to be talking to you about these things anymore. I said, you called me the other day twice, and I talked to you. So then the newspaper said I'd called you twice. So I said, then Jerry Ford wondered why I hadn't called him twice. And John McCormick came down, wondering why he hadn't been called. Well, he said, you just forget I ever called you. Just forget it. But said, Nixon is just shaking, and he just thinks that you're all about to do this and do that. I think that's something serious, Nick. You ought to think about that yourself and tell me just how we handle it. I don't think Rusk and Clark and Johnson and Buzz Wheeler really know how to deal with it. Russell says it's a very serious problem.
I think it's a serious problem. I think Mr. Nixon's gone you know, quite far out already on this. It'd be hard for him to pull back and call it a trick. You have some statements already.
Well, he has said that he is going to support the government's policy, and he's not going to undercut us, provided we give him plenty of advance notice so he can get his marbles in a row if we decide. We told all of them we would do that. And that's another thing that we haven't been able to get over to Cy and Averill, that we've got a hell of an election on, and we're going to have to call these leaders in. And Humphrey's going to be in California, and somebody else is going to be in Texas. We're going to have to get McCormick, and he won't ride a plane. And we're going to have to get Dirksen in from the election. Then Nixon and Wallace and LeMay and that group come in. They're going to bring 100 reporters with each one of them, and it's just going to be a fandango. And I think we'll be lucky if we get these bases touched. I'm not about to agree hard on until I get pretty good support from every one of my people in state and defense. That means my Joint Chief. And I don't know what I'm going to offer. I don't think I'll get support if they require me to go 7 or 8 days.
No.
Most of my people thought that they meant what they said when they said serious discussions could begin the next day.
Well, Mr. President, in fairness, when they said that, they were, if you go back over the cables on this, they were playing with the fact that the serious discussions between us and them the next day.
Yeah.
They didn't say that there's going to be anybody else present.
No, that's exactly true. But if they want somebody to be present, we'll give them a week or 10 days to go get them. And whatever time they want, just don't require us to stop bombing and let them bring down a government during that period.
No, that's a real problem. I'm not...
So
you know, it's a delicate balance all the way around. There, here, every place else. I don't underestimate these things.
I think there's no question what the commies want to use this for election purposes. I think they won't affect the election with this. And I'm very frank to tell you that I would like to win the election.
Well, the Russians do it.
Yes, sure. And they have background in everybody. You saw the Stuart Hensley story the other day, what they're leaking out there to him.
Yeah.
We're hearing it all the time. You saw the, you see the Harris thing? You know where the secretary talked to Harris today? Lou Harris?
I've seen some of the earlier ones. I didn't see one.
Well, today I told him to be sure to call him. He's called up and he's got the whole thing just almost like he had a copy of the cable.
Yeah.
From the Soviet, and you saw what they put in out in London, the Daily Express, the Soviet Union was saying they were pulling it off for us.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine yourself, if you're Wallace, or if you're Nixon, or if you're Dirksen, how you'd feel if they were doing this to you. And so whatever else, I don't want to, I don't mind being called dumb, and I don't mind being called a bad president and a bumbler and everything else, but I just don't want to think that I deceived them with a war, and the middle of a war, when they were trying to cooperate. And so that's why I think we've got to... I think we'll have to see the leaders. I think we'll have to see the Joint Chiefs. I think we'll have to see the candidates. We'll have to tell them what we're agreeing to, and I think we'll have to get each person in Rusk to tell them, and Cleckford tell them, and Wheeler tell them why. And I have to come in loud and clear and hard with Bunker. I asked one of the chairmen today, I said, who do you think is the man who can be the most effective? And he said, Abram. I said, why? And he said, because he's the commander in the field, and he's doing a good job, and he doesn't talk too much. What he says has some weight, and he said, I have watched him over a long time, and I would support him, and I would defend what position he took on the basis of his recommendation if he was hard and strong on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is Dick Russell,
mm-hmm.
And he's damned important to us. But the time you go get him, and he's sick, and in Winder, Georgia, and get him up here, why?
You've got a public operation.
Yes, you have. You sure as hell have. And, but I think that what we have to do is just put the leadership in one room and the fish room and the other group in the cabinet room and take one of them for an hour and have one come in at 3 and the other come in at 4. And the time we get the 3 in, we'll hit be through with them before the four arrive.
So, same 9 p.m. day.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be hard, you see, because...
It's going to be an awful period.
Mm-hmm. And you see, they'll all ask questions, and I don't know where you... I remember when Fulbright and Russell and them were here when the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they were wanting to bomb it right out then. And they made comments and asked questions and so on and so forth. Rather startled the president, I remember, and a few others. But,
well, let me pass on this to Sy.
Now, what are we going to say to him? In effect, what he wants to know if he can add anything to the 3 days.